Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Lisa Gumbo, registrar, your host on today's show. And today we're going to be discussing highlights of SA Menswear Week, which just took place in Cape Town from the 6th to the 9th of July. Now, a bit of a background about SA Menswear Week. South Africa Menswear Week is in Africa's only standalone platform dedicated to the development and promotion of menswear within the African continent. And it takes place twice a year in Cape Town, South Africa, with an aim to provide a world-class platform for menswear designers and brands to showcase their latest collections. It's curated by leading industry experts. Their panel selects and invites the best of established and upcoming designers to participate during each season, and they're coupled with the best show producers on the continent. Innovative event management, from PR through to venue selection, they really are trying to set this platform that provides the necessary sort of space for our designers to get the exposure they require in order to grow their fashion businesses. I personally love what Simon Dinner is doing as founder of Menswear Week, which is still the first Menswear Week to launch in the continent. And I also believe that this avenue actually creates a great opportunity for menswear to really get visibility that it would not ordinarily get through a regular fashion week. So I think it really also backs up the rise of the menswear in Africa. Now, before I introduce our special guests and go straight into the menswear talk, we are also joined on the show today by Morag Stein, who will be glamming up the show with her glam up for a dose of makeup and beauty tips. Welcome to the show, Morag.
Thank you so much, Liz. You look wonderful today. I just say that. That skirt, I want to steal it off you.
Before you go on to me, I just want to say you always look fabulous.
Thank
what
you.
Are you wearing? Today you look a bit casual and easy, but just share with us what you're wearing.
Today, the reason for me looking very casual is I've had a pretty hectic week, as us makeup artists do on set. Just a lovely pair of flats, really comfortable, a nice high-waist black skinny, and just a really simple tee and a scarf, and I feel great.
Fantastic. I love what you're wearing. Well, the skirt you're talking about that I'm wearing, that you probably will get one of, depending on how nice you talk to me, is a very simple maxi skirt. It's one of my high-waist maxi skirts from my spring-summer 2016. It's a beautiful, easy African print. I think for me, skirts, I don't want to say what I cannot do without in my wardrobe, but I think skirts like these are one of the easiest and the best accessories
Absolutely.
For one to have. As you know, I'm not feeling the greatest. I'm still not well, but the truth is, I feel like when I wear a skirt like this, it literally just brings my energy back from like 2 to like 10. So I'm 10 over 10 right now holding it on Fashion Lab Africa on Cliff Central. And this is where we talk about, you know, the business behind fashion and what we are doing to be able to really develop and really elevate this industry, especially within the continent. We're going to also be joined on the show later by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with Echoes from New York. And just a quick reminder to you who are listening again is my favorite segment at the end of the show, which I will try to give more time. I have seen some tweets and had some messages that we're not really giving it a lot of time. So who would you want to dress and why is going to be coming up at the end of the show. Feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. That is the segment that we use to unwind after this interesting conversation. Keep your tweets coming. We're at Fashion Lab AF. And share with us some of your favorite fashion menswear brands, you know. It could be continental, it could be global, but you know, this is where we hold it down. Now, moving on to our very special topic around the SA menswear highlights, I would like to introduce our very special guests joining us in studio. We've got an interesting brand, two brands that actually showcased at menswear. I wasn't really there to see it, but obviously we love the fact that we are living in a very WWW savvy world where we get everything straight from the internet. However, I want to introduce a very special guest. She is just walked in looking fantastic as usual. She's a keen academic, analyst, self-confessed trend geek, teacher, speaker, and brand consultant. She's a formidable presence on the Africa's fashion and lifestyle landscapes. As a trend analyst, she melds her observations of time and patterns with her expertise and ever-expanding research to chart trends and behavior on the local and international scale. Many of you may remember her trend reports on the show, as she's also contributed on this show before. She's here with us today, and I'd like to welcome her, Nicola Cooper herself.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
I'm almost family.
You are almost family, and you look fabulous, and it's very different look here. I love it.
Yes. As a result, of, I don't know if our listeners know, I had a very traumatic head-on collision, near fatal, and Morag will tell you, the body reacts in different ways, and my hair started falling out by the handfuls, so I got myself a cute little pixie cut. So.
Stunning. I love it.
And I love the story behind it, and I love the fire behind. You know, there's fire behind that story. It's like, listen, you don't have to be down and then look so down. You can always reverse that whole situation and still really
reinvent yourself.
I love it. I really do.
Liz.
And what are you wearing now that we are here talking?
I'm actually just wearing simple, as you know me, basic black, but with a little bit of retro. I'll show you the shoes because you know me and shoes.
Oh, wow. We're going to take a picture of that and we're going to tweet it just now so that our listeners...
So a little bit of 1970s.
It's very nice. I love the style. I love the hair look. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, Nicola, you are the menswear in Cape Town. I want to talk about some of your highlights and predicaments around this season's shows.
Well, I've been an associate of SA Menswear Week since its inception, and have really lovingly seen it grow and grow to a platform that is sort of highly formidable and watched by many around the world. And what I've found, you know, with the sort of rise in menswear, which is, you know, on average a 4.7 average growth per year comparatively to women's 3.9%, is that menswear is outshining womenswear in terms of growth in business. So young designers are sort of aligning themselves more to menswear, and especially the younger emerging designers. And what we're seeing on the runway is just astounding, sometimes shocking, but at most time it's pushing the boundaries of African fashion like nothing else.
I love what we're about to do. Now, we have two brands that we're going to be talking to today. Before I go into your favorite brand or some of your highlights, and like I said, you are one of the really cool minds that I would like to pick because of the fact that you come from a very trend sort of driven background when it comes to forecasting, and also interesting to see some of the things or some of the hues or some of the accents or some of whatever it is that you may have seen or predicted before and actually seen it run and rush on the runway at menswear. Now, before we go on with this conversation, Nicola, I'd like to plug in moving over to one of the designers that we had who's also joining us. We've got Gilmore T for fashion brand Arakani, who is all about creative freedom and rebellion from different conventions. It is his own interpretation of a free thinker language that actually drives his brand, Arakani. Now, Gilmore is joining us today on behalf of the brand. Gilmore, are you here with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Gilmore, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
We're fine, thank you. Thank you for joining us on today's show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to see you.
Hey, Gilmore, it was nice seeing you last week.
It was nice seeing you. It's madness.
The line's really faulty, Gilmore, but we're going to give it a shot. I want to go straight into, first of all, congratulating you on your showcase at Menswear last week. I want to talk about the brand name, meaning Arakani. Now, what does that mean? Why Arakani for the brand?
Well, initially, the brand Arakani, thank you so much for the congratulations and for the kind words. Initially, the brand Arakan was called the Brilliant Clothing. The entire inspiration behind the clothing label was just basically to find this fight conventions, like break conventions, and create a new language to fashion, allow people to express themselves freely, and not follow the current things. You know, the things that people follow in terms of.
I think, Gilmore, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the line's really faulty. We're going to just take a quick break and call you back. We will be back with you on
the line. All right. We can do on Skype because I'm on Skype now.
All right. We'll be back in touch with you just now. Yeah, that is Gilmore T we are talking to for fashion brand Arakani. And like I said, the line was a bit faulty, so we will continue with the conversations around what was really going down the runway because Nicola's actually here. Nicola, did you get a chance to actually, you know, see the collection and what are your thoughts?
I did see the collection and had a very interesting conversation with Gilmore about the collection. For those of you that didn't see the collection, you know, go and Google it because it is quite an interesting collection. And some of the points which I raised with Gilmore was that there is a strong almost fetishism and bondage element. And it wasn't just in that particular collection. It was in a number of collections, you know, from other African designers. And my question to him at that particular time is it because, you know, Africa is quite conservative about sexuality? Is this kind of a breaking of boundaries, or is this a breaking of the concept of slavery? Because bondage has got a lot to do with those kinds of elements. And it was very interesting for sort of I'd say Northern African, Northern from us, obviously, designer to bring in an all black collection with sort of your patent leathers and interwoven sort of straps, those kinds of elements. So it was quite an interesting range from a North African country. And, you know, obviously we spoke about the saleability of it or the practicality of it. But I think conceptually, it's really trying to push buttons and boundaries, and it certainly did.
Wow. We're obviously also going to maybe tweet out something or some sort of link just so that people can actually get to see what this collection really is about and also share their feedback on Arakani's collection. We'll try to reconnect with them. However, I also want to move on to another fashion brand that was also with us. Genevieve was showcasing as well. I mean, she showcased as well at the SA Menswear. And she's also joining us in studio shortly. But before we go into plugging her in, did you get to see her collection? And what are your thoughts also? Or what is your feedback?
Liz, and in fact, I saw all the collections, good and bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I did see Genevieve's collection, and it was a wonderful experience, right down to the detail of a grass runway, which tapped into like a more multi-sensorial vibe, which is really refreshing. And I've known this designer for a long time, having also once been her trained lecturer and also judged her her designs for SA Fashion Week. She really, really broke her own mold this season, and I was so impressed by her work. Usually those who know Genevieve's work is that she's generally working in monochromes and whites and grays, and this time she totally broke out with this beautiful grass green, this pale pink and denim and checks and all this sort of pattern introduced. And obviously this is a spring summer 2017 collection, and it was incredible to see the growth of this designer as a young emerging designer and pushing her own boundaries. But the collection was absolutely beautiful. In fact,
I called her the next day and asked her if I could wear a couple of her pieces, because I really, you know me to support young designers, but also because it was just so, not just a beautifully cohesive collection, but incredibly well made. And in some of the jackets, it was a top stitch pinstripe, which, as you know, wow, as a designer, it has to be meticulous, or you can, yes, spot it from a mile away. And, you know, her quality over the years that she has been developing has been absolutely incredible.
Wow. What are some other? We're going to plug in Genevieve, obviously, to also just pick her mind and just kind of see where she's going with this collection. But what are some of the other maybe designers or names that you can drop that really also surprised you? I really wish I saw. Did you watch? You watched all the shows. What about Choose Show?
Choose Show, I'm a little bit on the fence with, and that's really mostly because, you know, I've been told to go a little bit lightly on him because of a time factor. But then I look at Gucci and the change in art direction and what he presented in 2 weeks. There were some really beautiful elements of Chu, especially the knitwear. There were fun, quirky knitwear pieces that I would wear in an absolute second. What I did find is the garments that were aligned to the knitwear were not of his regular quality and not of his regular tailor and fitting and that sort of element, you know. And also it's difficult to repeat pattern 3 times in a row and still have it look fresh. I'm not saying that the range was not fresh and gorgeous. I'm saying that there are a few areas that I think due to time restraints he couldn't get right. But for me as an analyst, that's not a acceptable.
Okay. I want to save that energy so we go and roll back to this designer who depicts visual parables throughout her clothing. She references strong concepts taken from various fields of study and interprets them within a fashion context while bringing across strong concepts and ideas in the form of innovative garments with a strong sense of sculpture and molding, like we spoke about.
Yes.
Genevieve, are you here with us?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your showcase at SA Menswear Week 2016. We'd love to be able to just pick your mind a bit and understand what the collection meant to you, why this collection, why Menswear Week. I mean, there's so many different fashion weeks across the continent. Why? Let's just start by, why did you pick Menswear Week as a platform to showcase this collection?
Okay, so I've been showcasing at SA Menswear Week since the first installment, which was last year in February.
Okay.
So it was just normal to be a part of the fourth installment that just took place now, and it was a great opportunity to be a part of the spring-summer collection.
Mm-hmm.
So SA Menswear Week is a platform where African fashion is recognized globally. I do feel like SA Menswear Week is pushing the boundaries, being innovative, and also putting our fashion landscape on a good global stage, which can be recognized and put us amongst the international designers. I also think it's just exciting to be part of the growth of our menswear industry, which is developed by SA Menswear Week as being the first platform for that in Africa. And then, yes, it's just the SA Menswear Week is there to inspire and also to be recognized, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
Tell us a bit about the collection. Nicola already did a lot of justice trying to break it down to us, but it's nice to also hear it from the horse's mouth. What is it? What is it? Give us some details about this collection you just showcased.
Sure. So the collection is called Differential, and it's basically a representation of an amalgamation of cultures and like a somewhat unexpected modernistic view on African fashion and its identity. And we took inspiration from a tribe, it's the Jawara tribe, which have migrated to the Andaman Island. It is believed that they migrated 60,000 years ago from Africa. So it's kind of an unknown tribe that we have on our continent. they've been since influenced by Hinduism and Asian influence because of the island that they live on. And we played on that inspiration with the adornments, with the use of tassels, beading and accessory, and just having this juxtaposition and mixture of culture. And yeah, our primary fabric used was a dark indigo denim. We used it in a raw form just to complement the survival tactics of a tribe and using their raw materials for survival on the island. And also because denim commonly represents workers' clothes, matching again with the survival that the tribe does, such as fishing and hunting. And yeah, and then furthermore, we used the melange green colors in the collection that keyed as being grown onto the garments to link with the collection as being part of one's landscape and the heritage, matching with the lawn we used for the models to actually walk on. And then lastly, the dusty pink just complements the gender fluidity aspect that we have in our aesthetic as a brand.
Wow, your message, your brand messaging is appalling. I need a glass of water. But it's very nice. It's nice to also just get the messaging around what we create, because I think that's something that we maybe highlight enough, and it's nice to actually see it shine bright and clear. And now when we look at the collection, there's actually more story and depth to it. Nicola, what are your thoughts? I mean, we've been talking about this brand and you seem to have an understanding of the brand or some sort of connection with the brand from a long time back.
Very much so. What I do know about Genevieve personally is she's a thinker, and it comes, her runway collection always comes from a great conceptual place, that every tiny detail has been thought of, down to what the men would be walking on down the runway. So it makes perfect sense, and it was put very, very eloquently, Genevieve, how you came about your concept for your collection. But just, you know, to go away from the heavy mindset way, it really is just an aesthetically pleasing, beautiful collection that taps in to many of the trends, you know, gender fluidity, elongations of silhouette, the use of denim, which is sort of resurfaced in the most massive way, enlarged detailing, belting, those kinds of elements. So, you know, even though it comes from a deeply conceptual place, it certainly sits within a universal trend environment.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Now, what about your price points? Have you been able to get a good response from buyers, or are you still connecting with buyers? Do you see this selling within the continent, or are you also looking at really pushing it outside of the continent? Let's talk about the buyers and the price points as well.
All right. We have received a vast amount of interest from this collection, more than ever before, which is quite overwhelming, but in all the good ways possible. We have quite a few buyers interested, as well as our usual clients that we work with. Basically, we've opened the collection through a pre-order service via our shop at Genevieve Lyons of Sierra Zere, where our clients can order anything from the collection straight off the runway, and we custom make it to their size. We also have quite a vast amount of price points, as we try to link our runway, quite intricate like coats and that, with more toned-down basics, which will fall under our retail extension line, used by Genevieve Lyons, which allows us to have quite a vast amount of price points. We're looking at about R1,200 for your basic staples, up until about R8,000 for your more aesthetically, you know, pleasing and devised custom-made coats that you can see in the collection. So we've tried to tap into the vastness that our collection can show and that our brand can offer our clientele.
It's very nice. It's a very exciting collection. What can we expect from your brand this year? Now that we are done with menswear, I'm sure there's still a few months left in the year to do something special. What are you planning as a brand? Anything else in the works?
Okay, so basically, overall, we just want to continue growing steadily as a business. I think it's important for us as young designers to unite together, which we are trying to do, to build the African fashion's identity and pull it away from this cliche of ethnicity and print, which is seen globally and what sometimes is expected. It's also important that we are also exposing the challenges that we face, to have full transparency in order for us to fill the gap. So there's so much opportunity for growth in our industry, which we're excited to be a part of. And then as a brand, we have an invite to Finland to showcase at Helsinki Fashion Week, where we will be talking and showcasing our Autumn Winter 2016 collection that is based on albinism, just to bring enlightenment to African culture, body positivity, and also to bring cause to light in the European industry. There's been quite a lot of attention, and it's quite a big responsibility and opportunity to allow this to become a recurring platform for our fellow young designers to also go and showcase there in the future. So quite a lot still to happen before the end of the year.
Wow. Thank you so much, Genevieve. We could sit down and talk all day, but how? Yes, but we're just going to put a pause on that. How can our listeners connect with you?
Okay, you can connect with me on all social media handles. It's just Genevieve_Lyons. And then I also have a website, which is www.genevievelyons.co.za. You'll find all the information on there that you may require.
Thank you very much for joining us, and good luck. We're very proud of your work and your line, and good luck with that.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you. Wow, it's good. It's good stuff. We've got Arakani back on the line, and I just want to have a quick conversation with him before we take a break, Nicola, just to also get his kind of his feedback on, you know, what happened. And I also wonder, when it comes to one of the things I'm really interested in, is how to, you know, how it affects, how sales are affected for a brand when you're based in a different country and then you come and showcase and then you go back. When you go back, is it all quiet and silence, or is it, you know? So those are the type of conversations I'm also interested in, because I'm sure that for brands that are looking to expand within the continent, that's one of the things that you kind of think about when you leave your home. And if I leave South Africa now and go and showcase in Tunisia, you know, is it something that is going to bring back a reasonable profit in my business? Should I invest in it? Is it an out of sight, out of mind sort of thing? Or are we getting to that space where if a brand is strong enough, you can actually really push boundaries without necessarily having to have that presence within that market? Arakani Gilmore, are you here on the line with us?
Yes, I'm online. I was just listening
well,
to you.
Welcome back to the show. So Gilmore,
thank you very much.
Yes, we were just talking, and I was just saying, before we even go deeper, is you guys are based in Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, we're based in Zimbabwe. We're a Zimbabwean-based brand.
So one of the questions I have for you also is, and I speak as a fashion entrepreneur in the continent, because obviously there's a lot of movement around the continent, there's a lot of interest, you know, when you're based in a different country and you want to go across and showcase your work and actually get sort of visibility and even increase your sales, could that be something that, do you know how it's going to affect? For example, you just showcased at SA Menswear, went back to Zimbabwe. Do you feel that you got a good interest or sort of connection from buyers who are based on this side of the continent? And do you see that you're going to actually be able to increase your sales through this connection? Or do you feel that it's actually a challenge being based there and trying to run across to make things happen back and forth?
No, I actually think South Africa as a country itself has such a huge attention in terms of whatever industry that you're in. So in terms of the fashion, there's such a huge attention that is paid towards South Africa. And I feel this opportunity such as South African Men's Week presents an opportunity for one's brand to grow, for one's brand to connect to other people. For us, for instance, with Arakani, actually a lot of people are pushing us, saying that you guys are so good for Cape Town because your brand, some of your jackets, some of your outfits, they actually fit perfectly in the Cape Town kind of scenario of the fashion industry. So I actually think it's a boost for designers when you go and showcase outside your country. For example, showcasing in South Africa, it boosts you a lot because you get a lot of attention outside your own country. And when you come back to your country, there's a lot of value added to you because they look at these platforms, such as South Africa Fashion Week or something else in Nigeria or in Ghana, as such a huge platform. And then you get more attention.
All right. That is Gilmore we are speaking to. And unfortunately, the lines are not on our favor. But we're going to just continue this conversation. I think, Nicola, it'd be nice to pick your mind again But I think let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more around this SA Menswear Week.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, we were talking to Arakani, and the brand name Arakani actually means rebellion from convention's creative freedom. So it's interesting, and even how you described it, Nicola, the way you described the collection really feels like it really pushed some buttons and really came out in, you know, they really try to really push some sort of, maybe go beyond borders, I don't know.
Certainly so. I mean, it really did push boundaries, especially for, you know, a conservative African market. And I think that's really what's quite incredible about what the designers are doing on the platform of SA Menswear Week is, you know, they are pushing those boundaries, rather than just taking the safer route of delivering ready-to-wear garments on the runway. The runway is about narrative and authenticity and telling a story. And, you know, there are brands that are ready-to-wear, but there are brands that are there to say something.
Yeah, true. So overall, in a nutshell, I want to plug in Edge, but in a nutshell, what was your take? You were there last year, you were there this year. What do you feel? Are we growing? Is it more new designers, a lot of new emerging designers, or what's the balance? What does it look like?
There were similar designers to those of last year. I think what we're starting to see, though, is the evolution of the emerging designers. Menswear Week has a younger demographic, if I can call it that. I can't stand that word, but it's the only one I can think of, with younger designers presenting on the platform. And some of the key takeouts for me were the collaboration with Tebe Magugu and Richem Nisi, which, you know, tapped into Tebe Magugu's knowledge of female form and Richem Nisi's sort of structural form. And I had a conversation with them afterwards, and apparently they switched the roles in the collaboration, where Tebe went more structural and Rich went more effeminate. So that was quite an interesting one. Lukanyo Mdingi, just beautiful color palette. And you can never fault him on the elements and the way in which he places things together. Nicholas Kautz, who was a collaborator with Lukanyo, again, another standout. But one of the shows that I did attend, and it's one of my favorites, is the Young and Lazy, Tubop and Soul Soul, which is a streetwear collection. And the irony is this is ready to wear streetwear. You can actually pick up this range and place it in a Topshop, a Barney's, a Selfridges, you name it. So for me, it's always interesting to watch ready to wear ranges and how they differentiate themselves from one another. And I was really blown away by the simplicity, the elegance, and the quality of these ranges. And it was quite interesting to watch my fellow sort of attendees, and a gentleman two seats down from me went, "It's just tracksuit pants." But the fact of the matter is, it's not just tracksuit pants. It's like it's the contemporary streetwear being reinvented by three young brands that are just cutting edge and doing phenomenal things. So I have to give a shout out to them. As I come from a streetwear label background, you're doing a great job, and carry on.
Fantastic. Edgy Benson from New York, with Echoes from New York, is also on the line with us. He runs NU in New York, which is a fashion services company based in New York. Sourcing services to fashion designers and fashion houses such as Vera Wang, Chloe, Bill Blass, Kate Spade, and for stores such as Harrods, Saks, and Colette Paris.
Welcome. And he looks very much like Idris Elba.
And there you go. That was not me who finished, but that is another extension we need to put onto your intro. Welcome to the show, Edgy.
Thank you. It's so nice to have Nicola back.
How are you guys? Enjoy her while stocks last. She's here today. Welcome to the show, Edgy, and bring on your echoes from New York. We'd love to hear your sentiments around this menswear, SA menswear that just took place.
No, you know, I did look at Arikani, and it's really... You know, right now in menswear, there's just a number of things that are going on, and menswear is huge now. You know, like, we just acquired a menswear line too, as part of our licensing operation. So when you look at their designs, they're pretty much where they need to be in terms of menswear out here, actually. They have the right specs, you know. They have the busty silhouette, they have the long silhouette, they have the long tees. They have all the components that actually are what's going on for menswear here. So I think their sensitivity is fantastic. So, I like the line a lot.
And what did you think? What's your take on the menswear generally, on the menswear? We spoke about it last year, you were here. I mean, you joined us in studio. It's here again and it's gone. But... What were some of your highlights generally on the whole show? Do you see it moving forward? Are you feeling excited? Nicola mentioned the emergence of a lot of younger sort of brands as well, really taking it over. What's your take on it?
No, I mean, generally, overall, everything is very much on track with what's going on here. The silhouette for men, there's a little bit of androgyny, there's a little bit of avant-garde, especially for the younger designers. You know, they're not so compliant with whatever was big, you know? Mm-hmm. And that shows in the way that the looks are. So some of them are still out there, but in a very good way. So I think we're very competitive across the board. The silhouettes are just right. The fabrications with the long tees. I mean, like, Arakani has this slim bombers. That's a big deal here for men. And then, you know, a lot of the trends here, like, for men is mostly the pants are remaining a little skinny, maybe a bit skinny. The jeans are quite distressed. And then the fabrications are moving towards, like, a lot of terry cloth in men's pants, in men's jeans. And, I see reflections of those across the board. So I think we're quite competitive.
Wow. Thank you so much, Edgy, for that feedback. I want to roll over to Morag Stein, who is an internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist, who is coming to us live and direct with her glam up, just for a bit of a dose of some of the... you know, her glam up doors or her glam up bits and pieces. But welcome to the show again, Morag.
Thank you so much, Liz. And great to see you back in studio, Nicola.
Thank you.
I have to just start with saying, thank God Urban Decay is here. It's here in full force. It's in South Africa. I know we sound crazy because it's been overseas for about 15 years. But thank God we now have access to it. And we can actually go to a store and just be a part of the, you know, the makeup junkie experience. And, of course, my favorite lipstick this week is a Urban Decay lipstick. I did go to the launch last week, Thursday. And you know what? From the packaging to the color to everything, the actual box that the lipstick comes in, has lips printed inside the box. It's absolutely amazing. I literally want to put it on a pendant and wear it around my neck. That's how beautiful it is. It is a matte texture, but it's really creamy. And the shade that I've got at the event was a naked shade. So it's really beautiful. Liz, you're also wearing it. It looks amazing.
I just threw on some gloss
on it. Yeah, some gloss
over. Because my lips have been very dry.
But that's the amazing thing with a matte is you can just zush it up with a gloss, you know. For anyone who wants to know, the Urban Decay store is at Dakota Lee in Sandton, if anyone wants to go and have a look. Today, I am revealing all about foundation. Foundation, to me, it's almost like a woman's underwear. It's a very personal thing. It's you either get it right or you don't get it right. There's no in between. It's you have your favorite. And also the questions that you need to ask yourself when buying or choosing a foundation is, what is it for? Is it for everyday wear? Is it a long-lasting that you need? Is it for a shoot? You know, what is the occasion that you're needing the makeup for? Secondly, what coverage are you wanting? Do you want a light or sheer coverage? Do you want a medium coverage or a full coverage being, you know, completely matted out? And is it necessary for you to have a full coverage when your skin really just needs a sheer coverage? Thirdly, the texture. Are you looking for a satin or a matte? I like to compare textures to materials because it's really a satin is sort of like a dewy look on the skin. And then a matte would be more of a velvet feel or a cotton feel on the skin. Just keeping in mind that any matte texture absorbs light and that actually enhances any imperfections on the skin. Whereas a satin has light reflecting particles in it and it reflects. So if you have, say, any acne scarring on the skin, it would be recommendable that you wear a satin more to a matte texture. Then we move on to brands and colors. I'm not going to go into too much detail with brands. If we think of MAC Cosmetics, they have 14 different foundations. So it's really to go into a store and to find which one you like. A lot of women are brand orientated. So, you know, if you prefer a MAC or a Smashbox or, you know, an Estee Lauder, whatever, it's just to find that connection with a brand. And once again, it's very personal. And also, let's say, for example, we do a Smashbox foundation. The next thing to find out is what your undertone is. So are you a yellow undertone or a pink undertone? And then actually testing the foundation and wear it for a week. You know, don't just go ahead and buy. A foundation can range from 400 to 1,000 rand. So it's really, you know, it's not a thing that you're just going to go ahead and buy. You need to actually wear it and test it and see how it lasts on the day. The next thing is also beauty balms that are a huge craze at the moment in the industry, and men are actually wearing them as well. They have SPFs in them, they give extra hydration, and they sort of give more coverage than just a normal tinted moisturizer. The other thing is be open to change. I know I've met ladies in the industry who have worn the same foundation for the past 20 years. Okay.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing? Nicola's laughing. You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
I think they also still have the same hairstyle.
Yes. You know, be open to change. Our skin changes every season. You know, I find with my skin, it's, you know, now in winter in South Africa, it's very dry. So I'm tending to go for more of a hydrating texture in a foundation. And also, your skin color changes. You know, I'm fairer now in winter to summer. So obviously, you need to wear a different shade of foundation. That's about it for now. And then, as once again, I can't stress enough, please test the foundation on your face, not on the inside of your arm, ladies. I've seen it time and time again, and I'm just like, why? Your arm is a different color. Anyway, ladies and men, have a wonderful weekend further and enjoy the rest of your week. And that's for me out and about. You can follow me on social media at Moragstain. That's MoragStein on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mara.
Nice. And we'll keep all those notes in mind. And Edgy, are you still here with us? Okay. Nicola... It's been beautiful having you on the show. I just want, before we go into who would you want to address and why, if you can just share with our listeners how they can connect with you.
You can connect with me on social media at Nicola Coop. If you'd like to directly mail me, it's hello@nicolacooper.co.za. Also look out for August. We are launching a new trend talk, specifically around the beauty and fashion advertising and marketing industries called Perfectly Imperfect. And that is the shifting perceptions of beauty due to technology. And it is an open talk, so anyone is able to come and buy tickets for it. So it's one of my few open talks that I do a year. Otherwise, I'm kept like top secret behind closed doors. So I do encourage people to follow me on social media to get more details on how to attend the talk, and I would love to see and meet you there.
Thank you very much. We just want to go straight into who would you want to address and why. We're going to start with... Nicola.
Oh, no.
Listen, you've been around the fashion arena and the spaces for so long. Fashion Week just happened. I'm sure there's got to be someone. I mean, if it's not someone around the Fashion Weeks or around the environment here, I'm sure it's got to be someone you want to dress.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a few people that I would like to have a little bit of a come to Jesus talk with. I think there is a sort of trend at the moment of, you know, because of gender fluidity and androgyny, of men wearing heels, specifically at Fashion Week. And yes, you know, it does give insight into a community, but just remember, and this is to those men wearing heels, that gender fluidity and androgyny is a community. It's a social community, and when you adopt a social community as a garment or as a trend, you have to be very careful around the appropriation of someone's gender as a trend. So I just ask you to be a little bit more sensitive around those issues and around androgyny and gender fluidity. If you are adopting the trend, understand it does come from someone's lifestyle. It is a movement, not just a garment.
Okay. More, right?
Seeing as though we just had Men's Fashion Week, I would actually love to dress my dad today. He's really chilled. He's not a suits and tie kind of man. And I'd actually just like to get him in like a nice pajama pants or like a nice flowing top and, you know, just a nice pair of comfortable sandals. I think he would look great. And, you know, even maybe a Lizzo Gumbu design, that would be great.
Yeah. I would want to dress. I've been seeing this a bit and around. This whole pajama-ish look. So the pajamas are kind of... I am going to die if I see one more person. Pajamas are... To me, pajamas are stay in the bedroom, please. Those satin, silkish pajamas stay in the bedroom. You cannot be going anywhere in those. And then this beautiful Emperor line... 90s? Those are 90s. Those are silk 90s as well. Please don't throw that with a trench coat unless you're going to see Benjamin. Do not do that. I mean, after 11:30 p.m. So I just think, back to just being practical when it comes to fashion. I'm all for being individual and being different and being cool, but I still think within reason is cool. Yeah. There's got to be a rule within that freedom still. So please keep your pajamas at home after 11:30 in your bedroom. And when you come out, throw on your heels and throw on some real clothes. I mean, that's all I'm saying. So all those who are getting crazy about the pajama look and the silk nightie, keep it in your bedroom, please. This has been amazing. It's been nice having you guys. Thank you for your time here. Thank you, Edgy Benson, as well. Thank you to the designers who've also joined us to just share with us around what really went down at SA Men's Wear Week. And it's been nice. We're on www.fashionlabafrica.com. And we're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. If you have any thoughts, if you want to share anything, or even your who would you want to dress, you can drop us a line. Otherwise, peace and love until we connect next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.